reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in 2 Kings, page 392, and we read 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to one side and to the other, till the two of them go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians. It's found on page 1235, and we read verses 12 through 13 and chapter 4, 1 through 6. "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end." Continuing at chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, found on page 1080, and we read Mark 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified, and a cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the simple words of God at the account of the Transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." There's a lot of mysteries in life. One of the mysteries I've encountered as I was a younger parent was that when we would send our children on occasion off to stay with grandma and grandpa, then later return to pick them up and ask them how were they always said, "Oh, they were just great. We had all kinds of fun." This was a mystery. But I think now that I have become a grandparent, I have resolved the mystery. Part of it lies in the fact that if you give a child about 99.2% attention all the time, they seem to enjoy life quite well. But a couple of months back, I found out too that a voice can sometimes make all the difference. You see, and I'm not going to tell you which one, but one of the grandchildren was over at our house and was misbehaving. And I can't remember if it was mom or dad was trying to correct the child, and they were just not cooperating. And I believe at the same time, they had never heard Grandpa's voice angry. And when Mom or Dad had given forth good effort and wasn't getting anywhere, I finally had had enough. And in my somewhat pastoral, somewhat manly, somewhat angry voice, yelled out the child's name and said, "Stop it!" And they listened. I kind of wonder what it was like for the disciples, Peter, James, and John, when they went up the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. And strange things begin to happen. You know, it was interesting, just a little bit before the account of the Transfiguration, you actually have Peter trying to scold Jesus when Jesus begins to tell him where his ministry is going to end. That he's going to have to suffer at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. And Peter grabs him and takes him aside and says, No, this can never happen to you, Lord. He wasn't listening, if you will. Not only does Jesus scold him, but then just a short time later, as they're up on the Mount of Transfiguration, a cloud comes and envelops it. And then they see Moses and Elijah standing there with Jesus, conversing with him. And from other Gospels, we learn what that conversation was about. That they were talking about his departure, which was going to take place at Jerusalem not long from now. And then out of that cloud, as they see Jesus standing in glorious array, they hear this voice. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." God has made his present unmistakably clear to mankind. God has taken on human flesh, not only to speak to mankind, but to accomplish the work of redemption. And he had one simple short message for those apostles up on the mountaintop. Listen to him. But since the Garden of Eden, that has been a struggle for mankind. We always want to go our own way. And while God speaks to us through Scripture in unmistakable language, unlike the Apostle Paul speaking in our epistle lesson, we always want to tamper with it. We want to tweak it just a little bit. Some things that Jesus is clear about as described in Scripture. Let's start with this fact. Now, God does love us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But he goes on from there. Another place in the Gospel of John. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Or just one verse after John 3:16 I read a few moments ago. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many there are that go therein. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there are that go therein. God wants us to be certain of His love for us. That is why He sent Jesus. That's why Jesus went to the cross. But one of the dangerous ideas that is out there is that while many people are willing to believe God loves them, they're not willing to believe that there's only one way that He loves us. And that outside of that one way, the only God you're going to encounter is an angry God and a wrathful God. Nobody wants to think about that. Even within the Christian churches today. If you take a poll of all Americans, something like 85% of all Americans believe that there is a heaven. Only 60% believe there's a hell. We want to believe in God's love, but we just don't want to believe that outside of Christ, the only God we encounter is a wrathful God. Just within the last month or two, the head bishop of all of the ELCA was being interviewed, and as part of the interview was asked a question about hell. Does it exist? And her response was, well, if it does exist, it's empty. Head of a Christian denomination, a Lutheran denomination, who essentially does not believe in the wrath of God. Go to the cross and tell Jesus that God is not angry about sin. Watch Him suffer. Hear that anguish cry of Him, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And tell Him there is no penalty for sin. Or tell Him that while it's nice what He did for us, it wasn't really necessary. There's some other way. We don't tamper with the Word of God. God had one essential message on that Mount of Transfiguration. Listen to Him. Listen to God who has taken on human flesh to dwell among man. Don't think that, well, He did that once, but it was just for that generation. It really doesn't apply to other generations. That while God came in the person of Jesus Christ and spoke to the world and died for the world, that He wouldn't leave us a clear and certain record of what He said and what He accomplished. What kind of God would that be? Those words, listen to Him, were not meant just for James and Peter and John. They were meant for all of us. Not merely that we might be clear about the wrath of God, but clear also about the love of God and about the salvation He has offered us through Him. If I've mentioned it once, I've probably mentioned it 100 times in my years here. You know, those questions about if you were to die tonight and God, you would stand before God. While 85% of all Americans believe that there is a heaven, if you ask them, if you died tonight, are you certain that you would be in heaven? Roughly 85% of all Christians aren't sure. The answers, the responses to that question are, oh, maybe. I hope so. But very rarely an absolute, positive yes. That's not how God wants us to respond. Listen to Him. Believe Him. Trust Him. He wants us to be sure. He wants us to be sure about the things that destroy us. He wants us to be sure about that which saves us. He wants us to know that the way is smooth, that salvation is a free gift. But it's only one gift, the person of Jesus Christ. While God saves us by grace, while forgiveness is free, there is salvation and no other name given amongst men. He is the way and the truth and the life. Be certain of that. Listen to Him as He speaks to you in the Word and in the sacraments. Because God does want to be found. He came to earth in human flesh. He preached, taught, suffered, died, rose again, and appeared to hundreds upon hundreds of witnesses. All that we might be certain about the faith that He has taught us. There's a lot of people in this world, dear friends, that are tampering with the Word of God, who think that the ideas that they can invent in their heads are somehow better ideas than that which Christ Himself taught and which were recorded for us in Holy Scriptures. Don't believe it. As God asked Peter, James, and John, so He asks us to listen to Him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright, 2001. By Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.